And with the Easter holiday being underway, and it's Friday, I just had this brainchild today. I said, I'm going to call my buddy Scott Muchenbaker and to see if he'll talk to us. He's the exec chef out there at Oxbow Country Club and joins us here in the Drive Time News Hour. Thank you for coming on board again, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jack.
Well, it's always good to talk to you. I guess maybe we ought to open a description in your mind of the typical Easter feast.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's very different for everyone, but for me, it's classic, like ham, scalloped potatoes. I mean, that's just the way I grew up. That's what grandma always made. That's what my mom always made. So yeah, that's kind of what I stick to. And then, you know, you got to have your relish tray, right? We're a bunch of good Norwegians and Germans around here. That's always a big thing at the dinner table for the big gatherings.
Well, why don't you? How do you prepare your ham, for instance?
So for my ham, ham is always cooked, right? So it's a cured and smoked ham. But what I like to do is when I heat it up, I don't want to just heat it up. I want to try to impart some flavor with it too. Because, yeah, there's a lot of flavor because it is a smoked and cured piece of meat. But if you can add a little bit more flavor to it, then why not, right? So what I like to do is I'll put it in a big roasting pan and I'll do some chicken stock in the bottom. I'll do some star anise. A couple cinnamon sticks, a little bit of pineapple juice, and some fresh thyme. And then I like to throw some whole grain mustard in there. And then I'll roast this off at about 350 degrees. You know, you don't necessarily need to bring this all the way up to an internal temperature of 165 because, again, it is already cooked.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, bring it up to about 140 degrees, and then once you remove the ham, then you have those nice juices because you are going to render some fat out of the ham, and that's going to mix in with your juices. So it's all going to be really, really flavorful. And so now what you can do is you can strain that juice that was in the bottom of that pan, and then thicken that with a roux, and you have a really, really nice sauce to go with your ham.
All right. And what other condiments? You mentioned scalloped potatoes.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips for us on your preparation or something extra we might add?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I grew up on the box scalloped potatoes and the box au gratins, you know. And those have a place, and they had a place in my life. And, you know, if you want to use the box, then use the box. But if you want to use, you know, fresh potatoes and make your own sauce and everything, what I would do is I would actually, I think a lot of people like to just put raw potatoes in with the sauce and then cook it that way. That, it can work, but it doesn't yield what I think could potentially be a really, really good au gratin or scalloped potato. So actually, boil your potatoes off ahead of time, but cook them kind of al dente, right? Yeah. So they're about 3/4 to, you know, 7/8 cooked, whatever. And then mix in your sauce with your potatoes and then bake that off. And, you know, the more cheese, the better. That's what I always say, I guess.
Yeah. You know, earlier today when we were chatting about this, you thought it might be interesting to bring up foraging, because actually the weather is changing and we are going to have warm weather, and we have a certain window of opportunity here to go out there and pick greenery from the wild. What were you specifically thinking of when you talked about that?
Yeah, so, you know, this time of year, obviously, you know, we all went through what we just went through with that last little blast, and it's still a little chilly out there, but, you know, to me, Easter is always a sign of spring, right? I mean, that's when I think about Easter outside of the religious stuff, you know, I think, all right, it's springtime, we're going to start getting some warmer weather, and now what you want to do is, for foraging, once you're kind of steady in that 60 degree range, you're going to start seeing fun things like ramps, which is basically like wild garlic. So if you're familiar with like a green onion, so just think of a green onion with a broad leaf on it.
Before you go any further, where would you go to do this kind of foraging for these ramps, et cetera?
I'm glad you asked that, Jack. I'm not going to tell you, though, because that's where I like to go. You know, it's one of those things. People that go out and forage, they don't really, you know, they'll go as far as blindfolding other people when they take them to certain places because they don't want them to necessarily know where you're going for this stuff, because if all of a sudden a bunch of people know about it, then when I go out, then it's not there.
Okay, can you describe the sort of area in which you are foraging?
Yeah, so what you're going to want to look for is you're going to look for kind of outside of the woods a little bit, you know, in nice wet ground, and look for those broad leaves. You know, you can get books on this stuff to easily be able to pinpoint what it looks like. I mean, do a Google search, you know, and then if you think you came across something, pull it out of the ground and take a little bite. And if it, you know, if it tastes oniony, if it tastes garlicky, you've probably stumbled into some ramps.
Okay, ramps. What other things might we look for? And we can always look this kind of stuff up. What other ramps like things?
So right about the same time you're going to see ramps is you're going to start seeing fiddlehead ferns.
Oh, yeah.
So a fiddlehead fern is basically it's a frond of a fern that hasn't completely developed or opened up. So it's all curled together really, really tightly. And these are so good. You know, you can treat it. They taste a little bit somewhere with like asparagus, maybe a little bit of spinach in there, but also really, really green. And with that, I would kind of just treat it the same way I would treat asparagus. I would just boil this off for a couple minutes, throw it in an ice bath, and then saute it with some onion, some garlic. I mean, a little bit of bacon doesn't hurt. And then just hit it with a little white wine and, salt, pepper. Super, super simple. You don't need to overthink it. I mean, you can throw them on the grill if you're feeling that. Just be careful because they are kind of small and they might fall through your grates. Or if you got like a black stone.
When I go out hunting for morel mushrooms, I usually allot it 2 or 3 hours, and I've come back pretty successful with friends who know what they're doing. Not my fault, but do you bring back a bag full of these ramps?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends upon if you're having good luck or not. I mean, you can stumble across a bunch of them, or you might just come across a few of them. I mean, it's all kind of luck of the draw, you know, and the thing about foraging is you're typically not the only person out there doing it. So just because you don't see somebody out there doesn't mean they haven't been there already.
Right. Okay, we got to let you go. But quickly again, is it east of town where you go?
Foraging?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that much. I'll go east of town.
All right.
On the Minnesota side.
He gave it away, man. There you go. Hey, thank you, Scott Mutcher-Baker.
You bet, Jack.
That's Scott Mutcher-Baker, executive chef out at Oxbow Country Club, 25 minutes after 5 o'clock.